and last time I've seen you because you weren't here when I was here. Well, this is a real pleasure to be here. So I'm here just to sell shirts. So you saw an awful lot of them. So let me explain it. In front of our t-shirt is our cool Detroit Dinner Church logo. And on the back, I don't know if you can see this, it says, "Taste and see that Detroit is good, Detroit Dinner Church." All right. So I just want to explain the shirt. We're missionaries, some of you know that you are some of our partners, and as a church, you are supporting our ministry in Detroit, and we just want to thank you so much for that. And so part of why we're here today is just to reconnect with you and tell you thank you. I also want to bring a word, and I also want to sell some t-shirts, because that also helps support our ministry. You got your puzzle piece. This is important. Hold on to that. I'll refer to that in a minute. But I think the best place to start is to try to explain how we ended up in Detroit. How did Mark and Mary Kreiderman end up as missionaries in the city of Detroit? One of the things that I like to do is I like to get away and study. And you remember when those of you who were here when I was here a million years ago know that there was one day a week when I would be out of the office getting my study time done and wrestling with the big picture. And I still like to do that. So on Thursdays, when it works out, I will get out of my house and get out of my normal ministry environment, and I'll jump on my bike and I'll go someplace where I can study. Usually it's a Starbucks or some kind of a coffee shop. So there's one particular time early on in our ministry in Detroit, during our first year, I headed downtown. We live about 11 or 12 miles from the Starbucks in Campus Martius. So we're going to use a straight shot right down Grand River Ave. Now Grand River goes through some pretty seedy, scary neighborhoods. Some nice places, but some scary places as well. So I hopped on my bike, filled my bike bag with all my books, and downtown I went. I had a great time studying and wrestling with the big picture of where the next dinner church is going to be planted and where the next leaders are going to come from and all that kind of stuff. And I thought a little bit about how we even ended up in Detroit. What am I doing biking through these scary neighborhoods to study? What am I doing in the city of Detroit? Well, for 30 years, Mary and I had just an excellent career of pastoring what I would call mainstream churches. Now, that's not the perfect term, but mainstream and the idea that kind of traditional, that doesn't mean a certain style of worship, but just the typical normal church. That's a good word for it. Normal church, like you all. Great, wonderful church. We love the traditional church. But after 30 years, we felt God saying, do something different. You know, some people, when they turn 50, they go out and buy a red Corvette convertible, right? I didn't have the money for that. So it was, let's move into the city of Detroit and plant churches. I guess that's how it worked. So mainstream churches minister to a certain segment of society. And there's one segment of society that Mary and I realized, as Free Methodists, we were missing out on. And it's who we as Free Methodists were always intended to be from the very beginning. And that is those people live and exist in the margins of society. The margins are people who are maybe groups of people who are often treated as insignificant. Not on purpose. They just are on the radar of what might be the norm or what might I would call be the mainstream. So we felt God call us to aim at that segment of society. So we do dinner church. Many of the people come to our churches are actually hungry. And that brings them and opens their eyes to coming to this gathering that we call dinner church. And so, as I mentioned, we're missionaries to Detroit, and you're part of our team, and I want to thank you for that. But a lot of people whispered into our ear during the time of moving in, like, what are you going to do? We have well-meaning people say, so do you have a gun? I said, well, yeah, but it is for hunting, not that kind of a gun. You should get a gun. And we're like, man, what all these viewpoints of Detroit, what's going to happen to Mark and Mary because they live in the city of Detroit? They better have a gun to protect themselves. They better get bars in the window and take off all that kind of stuff. Well, those thoughts You know, what the media portrays and what some people, well-meaning people will say, start to go around in your mind at certain times. So here I am, downtown Starbucks, doing my study, and all of a sudden I look outside and I realize dusk is coming. And I've overstayed my welcome. No, yeah, they don't care if I'm there, but I mean, I've overstayed. For me personally, this is a long ride home through scary neighborhoods, and it's getting dark. And I now all of a sudden those stories, those things that I've heard, starting to bubble up within me. So I hop on my bike, and I jump on Grand River Ave, and I start heading back home. And I'm watching the sun go down, and I'm doing the mental, where am I going to be when that sun finally hits down? Like, am I going to make it? And I'm a little bit nervous. And then I see, and it scares me so bad, like it makes my heart stop. I see a group of guys leaning up against a building, and as I ride by, they come away from the building, and they're kind of eyeballing me. And they're walking right towards where I'm going to be. And I swerve out into, you know, thankfully no traffic, and I pick up their speed, and my adrenaline is going. I'm like, oh my word, what was that all about? And then I'm starting to think, oh, I've never actually seen a gang. Was that a gang? And I was scared. Another mile or two down the road, I'm riding, and here's some guys leaning against a light post. And as I approach, same thing. They come out at me, and I'm like, what is this, an act of intimidation? Should I not be in the neighborhood? I mean, what is going on? And I am getting really scared. And it's about to happen again as I look forward down the road. But this time I turn back behind me, and the city bus is right behind me. Think about it. These were bus stops. Nobody knew I was riding my bike. Nobody cared. They just wanted to get home from work. Because fear sometimes shapes what we're going to see. Right? But so does faith. So does faith shape what we're going to see. Fast forward a little bit. We had a Christmas Eve service at one of our dinner church sites. And it was at noon because we wanted to make sure we got home in time, and Christmas Eve fell on a Saturday, so it was just perfect. And Kenny showed up early. He helped us set up the gym for this event. And we had a huge, wonderful extravaganza of food. Dinner church is all about amazing food. And I broke all my rules. We served hot dogs for Christmas Eve. Yes. So we had this plentiful harvest of hot dogs, and Kenny helped us get everything done. We passed out the gifts. We did all the things that we planned to do. Kenny stayed and helped us take down. And I am like, I want to go home and spend time with my family. And Kenny is still here. What am I supposed to do? And finally, Kenny says, hey, Pastor Mark, I have a question. And I said, yeah, what's your question? He says, what's God's name? And I'm like, oh my word, of all the things. And Christmas Eve, I just want to go home. So I'm going through all my seminary answers. And in fact, I had preached a series before, a.k.a., also known as God and the many names of God in the Bible. I started running through those. You know, Jehovah Jireh, you know, our provider. Is that what you're talking about? He goes, no. I said, well, you know, Moses had this interaction with God, and he asked God's name, and God said, I am who I am. Is that what you're talking about? He goes, no. And I'm just, you know, trying to figure out, and he finally goes, I said, what? Why do you want to know? And he said, well, I want to get to know God better. And somebody told me I should pray in his name. So what's his name? And I went, oh, why didn't I ask that question first? So I said, you know, Jesus came at Christmas. The angel said his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. We use the term Jesus as his name. So Jesus is God's name. Is that what you're talking about? He goes, yes. And we got a chance to hold hands and pray as Kenny invited Jesus to be the Lord of his life. It was the most awesome Christmas Eve. And then he gave me the most awesome Christmas Eve hug maybe I've ever had. It was just phenomenal. You see, faith changes the way we see things. And I knew right then and there that God was alive and well in the city of Detroit. some way, there was some subtle thought that I had ahead of time or long ago that I thought maybe I was bringing Jesus to Detroit. And what I've discovered again and again is that Jesus is already in Detroit and he is way at work. God is alive and well in the margins. And so what we've learned is this: wherever God is good. Wherever God is good. So our shirts taste and see that Detroit is good because we know that God is in Detroit, which makes Detroit good, and that changes everything. Perhaps you resonate with the pain and the frustration that the psalmist writes about in Psalm 34. I want to read it to you, so sit back and enjoy the psalm, okay? I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, I just want to remind you of some of the words that you heard in that song. The afflicted, those who are fearful, those who are poor, those who are troubled, those who have reason to cry, those who are brokenhearted, those who are crushed in spirit, those who have foes, those who are needing refuge. That's who this person, this author is writing about. These are people who live in the margins. They've been marginalized somehow, and he says to them, taste and see that the Lord is good. God is present, even in the margins. And we learn this lesson again and again, which is why we have a shirt that says, taste and see that Detroit is good. Because those who are the inside, followers of Jesus, will look at this and go, I know what you're talking about. You know? Right on. God is present. God is alive. God is at work. And those who don't know Jesus will go, yeah, the restaurant scene in Detroit is pretty cool. Taste and see, Detroit is good. And eventually they'll get it. So Jesus said, the poor... Okay, that's one of the marginalized groups. The poor you will always have with you. And I've come to learn this is not by default. I used to think, well, just the way it is, we're going to have to figure this thing out and solve it. But I've come to realize that reality is by design. The poor you will always have with you. Maybe it's not going to be the same person that's poor, but the idea of people who live in the margins, that's always going to be there. We will never solve it. You know why? Because God is present in those places. Again and again, we read in Scripture that Jesus is present in the margins. So if we want to know Jesus fully, we need to be in those margins too. So it's by design. Jesus says, if you want to really know me, my heart breaks for churches that aren't participating in dinner church. Really. I wish that every pastor had one foot in dinner church. Because I feel, after the experience that we've been through, that most people only know two-thirds of who Jesus is. Because they deal with Jesus in the upper class, and they deal with Jesus in the middle class, but they don't deal with Jesus in the lower class. So they really only know this part of Jesus. There's a whole other third of who God is that most people don't know. And so I come and I just applaud West Langford Methodist Church. Because of your constant focus on the people who live in the margins. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is among you. And if you remember that verse, if you've ever heard him say that, then maybe the question you have is, where? Where is the kingdom of God among us? Let me give you that answer. And it is found in our puzzle pieces. Okay, so grab that piece and think about it for a minute. So we're each going to take time to bring the piece up here and put it where it belongs. No, I'm sure. Especially because those pieces don't even go to this puzzle. So. Okay, so if we take the picture that we're trying to, you know how you look at the picture so you can do the puzzle. And I think it's pretty cool that when I was out looking for a puzzle for this illustration, for this message, the one I found is called Lost Kingdom. Oh, that's cool. Because I'm trying to illustrate the kingdom of God, right? Okay, so we look at the picture and we say, well, this is the kingdom complete. The kingdom of God in its completion, in its fullness for this illustration. Then we start to put it together. And we get it partially accomplished. And we're like, okay, we get a taste of a bit of the kingdom. And for this little segment, it feels full. But it's not complete, not in its full completeness, but still you get a taste of it. And then you have all these pieces that when we do puzzles as a family, they're scattered, and you're looking at them, and often some of them fall on the floor, and you're hoping you didn't lose one of the pieces of the 10,000 piece puzzle, because at the end of the day, you can be very sad that happens. And so we're going to call these pieces that are on the table and on the floor the margins. Okay? Every margin you can think of. So socioeconomically, so that would include financial and all that kind of stuff. Political, so if somebody's not of your political persuasion, then they're in the margins according to you in many ways, right? That's how we often live and how the system likes to set it up. Orientation, big deal today. One's orientation. Even just the way people live, you know, sometimes people, they just live in a way that their lifestyle is irritating. We'll call that the margins. They somehow live in a way that puts them into a place where they're ignored or pushed aside, or, you know, mainstream life zooms by. So here's the mainstream. These are the margins, all right? Now, what we've come to learn is Jesus is not just active here, but he's active here too. So here's my premise. Wherever the kingdom, or let's say it this way, wherever the mainstream and the marginalized merge, you're going to see or experience the kingdom of God. Okay? Wherever those merge, whenever those pieces get put together, the act of participation in helping those pieces connect, the merge, that's where you're going to see and experience the kingdom of God. So Jesus says, the kingdom of God is among you. Because we have mainstream, we have margins, Jesus is in both. And when we participate in the bringing together of those two, we experience the kingdom of God. Psalm 51. Do you remember this psalm? This is that great psalm. David had this awful sin, and he's confessing before God. His heart is broken because of his sin. And he says, create me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast from your presence or take away your Holy Spirit. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. The word restore in that scripture refers to turning back to the way it should be. Okay? Turning back to wholeness. Hold on to that for a minute. Galatians 6:1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. You who live by the Spirit should restore that person. The word restore there means to complete, to join together, to bring it to its proper condition. You see the picture here of this brokenness that so much of society finds normal, that the act of restoration is an act of God's presence. And then you know Luke 10. Luke 10, there's this story where Jesus tells of a guy who was walking from one city to another, and he gets mugged. And then a priest comes by. And the listeners to his story says, oh, there's a hero right there. I picked it out, Jesus. I know where you're going with this. And he says, so the priest comes by and goes, whoa. And he crosses by on the other side of the street. And the listeners are like, okay, a little confusion, but let's see what's going on with the story. And then Jesus says, this is just a story. It's a made-up story to make a point. He says, then a Levite comes by and says, yeah, he's the hero because the priest is not allowed to touch possibly a dead body that would make him unclean. So certainly, you know, spiritually he should cross by. But the Levite is kind of go between, that'll work. He's the hero. And Jesus says, he also crosses by on the other side. And then Jesus says, but there was this Samaritan. They're like, no, don't go there. He better not be going there. I think I see what he's going to say, and I don't think I like it at all. Because I know Samaritans, and I don't deal with those people. Those are marginalized. I have a life that is spent avoiding those kind of people. Don't you dare make that person the hero of the story. Of course, Jesus makes the Samaritan the hero of the story. Who's the neighbor? That person. Be like them. Great story, Jesus. Where he says the margins, that the kingdom of God is like when the margins and the mainstream merge together like family. Wherever the margins and mainstream merge, this is the kingdom of God. The only question is this: who moves toward whom? Who moves toward whom? And you know the answer. The answer is you. My appeal to you, Westland Free Methodist Church, you move toward the margins. Move towards the margins. Now, Romans 10 is this passage that us pastors, we love to talk about it. Because you know, it's this beautiful description of us. But it's not really about us. It's about anybody who calls himself a Christ follower. But anyway, it goes like this. Hey, how then can they call on the one they have not believed? And then how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Great. It's a great passage. I mean, there's no big surprise ending. It's just describing all of us. But those words come from Nahum, where they're in complete chaos. And life is crazy. And they're saying, look, there's good news that's to be had right in the middle of this chaos. And that's where God is present. And that's the thing we hunger and long for. in the middle of complete chaos and even judgment of Nahum, there's good news. Think about it. How desperately our friends in the chaotic margins around us need good news. They need to experience it. They need to experience it from someone like you. And I am so, so very proud of you, Westland Free Methodist Church. It's been a long time since I've pastored here. A big hunk of my heart still resides here. And so many of you don't know what I'm talking about, but we had this thing that we dreamed up years and years and years ago. We called it Mission 2010. And we didn't have a very good picture of it. We weren't very smooth in unveiling it, and none of that stuff. We didn't have a real clue what it looked like, but the essence was incarnation, kingdom developing, merging of the mainstream and marginalized. When I look back on it, that was, you know, all the stuff we talked about, that's what it was about. And you are doing it. I love following your Facebook feed as a church and you as individuals to see the enthusiasm and excitement of your incarnational presence in the margins of this part of the world. So proud of Beans and Bibles and the dinner church in Norway and Dillamico. And all the other things that you have been about for so many years. I'm proud of you. And I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. But as you know, crossing borders into the margins always begins with fear. It always begins with fear. And I'm not quite sure that why. Perhaps it's something like this. When I was in college, my brother Billy was a senior, and I was a freshman at Spring Arbor University. And I just make sure, you know, I love my brother, and we have an awesome relationship, always have. So he's a senior, I'm a freshman. Senior and freshman don't really hang out together in any way, shape, or form. And this one day, I'm at lunch, I'm finishing up my lunch, and Billy was sitting on the other side of his group, and he came by me, and he said, "Hey, Marky," and he put down a cup of coffee, fresh cup of coffee, in front of me. He said, "I got your coffee. Thought you'd appreciate that." I said, "Billy, that is so nice. Thank you." And off you walked, and I was like, "What? What a brother. He always surprises me." And then I took a big gulp of that coffee, and Billy had filled the cup halfway with salt and then poured the coffee on top of it. It was this salty slurry of awfulness that stuck with me for like days in my mouth. And sometimes we jump in and it doesn't work out and it's painful, and so we build up this fear of the next time. But let's fast forward a couple of years. I was visiting Mary's family at home, at her home, and I met Grandma Dodds. And Grandma Dodds had made strawberry rhubarb pie. Strawberry pie? Yeah. Rhubarb? I've had rhubarb before. I used to get it out of my other grandma's garden and chew on it, and it's the most bitter, wonderful, if you're a little kid type of thing, but pie? Gross. And then if you look at it, strawberry red, rhubarb green, together, yeah. And I just looked at this and went, "No way. That's gross. That is just hideous." But I don't want to offend Grandma Dodds. She says, "Try it. Just try it. Just try it." And my life has never been the same. I went on to marry Mary Dodds. She's now my wife. We had three wonderful children, two that are married. My oldest daughter, Mariah, has twins, Adeline and Penelope, Eddie and Penny. She just had a third, Nora. All because of strawberry rhubarb pie. I hope you'll set your course more and more toward the margins and into the fullness of the kingdom. Because God is there, and wherever God is, it is good. My prayer is that you will set your sails personally to aim at the margins wherever you find them. Move in so you too can taste the fullness of the kingdom of God. And someday you'll get your own t-shirt that says, taste and see that fill in the blank is good. Taste and see that your job is good. Taste and see that your neighborhood is good. That your family, even at holiday time when weird Uncle John shows up, is good. That your marriage is good. Taste and see that the holidays are good. Taste and see that even sickness is good. Because God is present. And that means somehow that is good too. Now, one more thing before we finish. If you have ever felt like you live in the margins, like no one cares for you, like you don't fit in, like you don't belong, like all life could go on and on and on without you and it wouldn't matter, you need to hear this. Jesus crossed from heaven to earth so you would know that there's someone who knows you and loves you. That he left the mainstream of mainstreams to come to your space and your place so he could be with you, so you could know his presence and love and know his forgiveness and his protection and his guidance and hope. And you didn't or don't need to do anything but believe what I just told you and receive him into your life. Such a radical new beginning of life that we call it being born again. Because for the first time, it's not just your body that lives, but your soul lives too. And I hope that you'll really receive Jesus into your life today. So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I want to thank you for moving into the margins, for coming close to us, for being God with us. Lord, for anybody in this room who's not yet invited you into their life, would you help them right now just to honestly tell you, Jesus, come into my life. I want you in my life. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Lord, I pray for those who have resonated with this message of being used by God to become a bridge to marginalized people. Would you help them? God, I pray that you would help everybody in this room. Give them a nudge towards a marginalized person. Encourage them to walk with Jesus to merge the mainstream and the margin. And God, I pray that you give all of us the blessing of the fullness of God's kingdom, though it's incomplete, but the fullness of your kingdom here and now. And we thank you forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.